Reborn out of disaster, four survivors rose again to form a legion of the world's strangest heroes. Da-da-da-doom Patrol!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Doom Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Scott Coles, and I almost forgot how we started the show again. You'd be surprised how often it happens. Actually, you probably wouldn't. But
and with him, as always, is me, Murray Fox.
Yes. I see. I forgot that part. Damn it.
And way over in the corner, we got Paul French hanging out, too.
Hey, hey, hey.
We're coming off a super show high.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're looking at DC Comics Presents number something.
This is the very first Doom Patrol podcast where we're both in the same room.
No, really?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally. No Skype falling off at all today. No phone calls.
Right. Totally good. Yeah. Every time we record, somebody gets a phone call. Or he gets a phone call, or I have to go chase the kids and do something because somebody's broken something. It's ridiculous.
So that won't be this time.
Right.
We're looking at DC Comics Presents number, 52. Oh, yes.
Superman and
Mike, away from your face, is gonna go.
The all-new Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
Aww, yeah.
The reason we're going with this one is because at the end of this, we're going to have a little interview, our first interview as well.
Yeah.
Woo! With legendary creator Joe Staton. And he was, of course, the artist on the showcase run of the new Doom Patrol when it came back after they all got blowed up real good.
Yeah.
So we're going to do this issue, and then we're going to have that, and that'll be that.
Totally.
And it'll be totally awesome.
Yes.
At least Joe Staton will be. I don't know.
That part will be cool. Maybe you want to take us through?
Sure. So we got a cover by Keith Giffen.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody. Doesn't matter who else. It's Giffen. And we got the...
Dick Giordano.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. His name's there.
Tricky Dick.
Speak of the dead.
No, I didn't do that. Alrighty, and we got a cover with the new Doom Patrol. Negative Woman is going crazy, cutting through Superman. There's flames and fire and Kirby crackle everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's rough. Rough on poor old Supes.
Kirby crackle drawn by Giffen?
I know. That's
what are the
crazy.
Chances?
That is crazy. This is a story written by Paul Kupperberg. And Keith Giffen is penciling, and Sal Trapani is on inks. I don't think I've ever seen him with Giffen.
Huh? Have I ever seen him before? I didn't even know the name.
I think it's been around, but
yeah, he sounds familiar.
I think he's like maybe was a Marvel guy. It doesn't matter. He's on the book, and it's all edited by Julius Schwartz. And not only is this the Doom Patrol had like a 3-issue run in showcase, and then largely vanished from the DC universe, except for a couple of appearances here and there. This is their next major appearance, I think, outside of their showcase.
I can't remember if this one came first or if it was the Supergirl ones.
Oh. Yeah.
I think it might be this one.
And then the Supergirl ones. Yeah, that could very well be.
Continue and I'll find out.
That could very well
be. Sal Trapani was also the brother-in-law of Dick Giordano.
Really?
Huh. Oh, speak ill of the dead's brother-in-law.
I'm sorry. Okay, so
a lot of Metamorpho was a penciler.
Mm. Yeah. There you go.
What? Yeah. He worked on Metamorpho as a penciler?
Yeah, I guess when Ramona Freyden wasn't as an inker.
I will have to dig through my Metamorpho books.
As an inker, it turns out he worked on the first appearance of Ambush Bug.
Which would be
I know. I'm being a jerk. Scott was distracted for a second, and I thought someone has to be the jerk.
Well, the thing is, on the other show, that's my job. On this show, I guess it's up to you.
The role is reversed.
He's like, up is down.
I'm going to take this podcast over the edge. It's going down in flames.
All right. So we got Superman. He's flying in. There's some Where is he? He's at some big electrical plant or something, and things are blowing up real bad. There could be a blackout everywhere.
That. Doesn't Superman know? He has, like, telescopic vision, doesn't he? Couldn't he just find out that it wasn't everywhere, or it was?
He only has it when it's convenient, Scott.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Sorry, we're trying to figure out if the Doom Patrol had...
Yeah, which came first, the Supergirl issues or this one?
Okay, all right.
That's what we're trying to find out.
Yeah.
All righty, yep. So he's running through the... running through the power factory there. Normally he flies. Today he's running because he's doing a Joe Shuster impression. He's rescuing people left and right.
Oh, for a minute there, I thought you were referencing Wayne and Shuster, and I was like, "What? Wow, Superman doing a Wayne and Shuster impression? All you Americans will have to Google that."
Yes,
But, don't waste your time.
What? Oh no, speaking of the dead again, mother
those people.
Pearl.
I will own up to that one.
Oh man,
gross. They are no kids in the hall. That's all I got to say.
That's true. I'll give you that one. Okay, carry on. Sorry.
So Superman is rescuing people. He's sucking up the fire, blowing it out the way he does, or the way he did. I don't know if he sucks up fire anymore in New 52ville, but way back before Crisis, he was sucking things up and blowing them out like crazy. And just as he's like, this is some sort of weird energy source, and then Negative Woman comes and knocks him flying. She goes flying through the air, and he is like, bizarre energy. And looks at her, and she's zoomed out of his sight. Even with his supervision, he can only get a little bit of a look at it. And he doesn't really have time, though. He's got to go down and talk to the workers and make sure everything's okay. He's wondering if they know what caused anything. And they say, nope, our instruments just had this weird surge inside the generators. And then, bluey.
Then it was Kirby Crackle all the time.
That is right. We zip over to the Daily Planet. No, we don't. We zip over to Galaxy News, where all the Daily Planet people now work.
Yeah.
And, So Lois and Jimmy are covering some political event. Some big dude is on the... some big politician is doing something important, and a little tiny bug comes flying by... And then do we get a pop? We don't even get a pop yet. Ooh.
No, this is, well, it's this is pre-pop. Appearance. They haven't figured out how pre-pop. He works exactly yet.
That's right. We get a pair of green hands with circuitry all over them, and they cover up the politician's eyes, and then he gets kicked through the podium, and he's dead on the ground.
Supergirl came after this.
Really?
Yeah. So
this will be their next.
Out in, that was cover date June of 83.
Huh.
And this was, of course, December 82, so...
Yeah. Huh. So this is, like, their next...
Yeah, their first
pretty much major appearance. Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing. Huh.
And the showcase was, what, 78?
Late 70s, yeah. Late 78. 70s.
So it was still a couple of years, then.
Yeah, because the originals died in 69, and they appeared in 78.
Yeah, well, the showcase ones were in... Would you say 78?
Yeah, because it's because one of them has the "you could be in the Superman movie"
right.
contest. Yeah. So.
But then they were also in Showcase 100,
briefly,
which was only a few months after that. Probably
now,
like a year.
Who did the artwork on that issue?
Joe Staten.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll get to that in a minute, though, or a few minutes, a while.
All righty. So we got dead politicians everywhere. And this big green dude pokes his head on the tape, and then he vanishes, and everyone is shocked. And Clark Kent, of course, is no longer covering the news. He is going to be making the news.
He
does his big pull the shirt open to reveal his S, and goes flying through because it's a job for Superman. And while he's flying along, he comes across, again, the Negative Woman, flying through the town, destroying buildings, and he zaps all the debris so no one's squished, and tries to... You would think he would have learned earlier that grabbing the negative creature doesn't work, but he tries. He tries to give it a big hug, and she goes right through him,
He also has super short-term memory.
That's right. Negative Woman takes him out. He's all Kirby crackled, and down he goes, straight to the ground. Kablammo. And this is where the all-new Doom Patrol appears.
Dun, dun, dun. Finally. Dun, 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 after finally. One of their members has been rampaging through the city, they finally decide
to show up. Eventually they decide to show up. That's right. So we get reintroduced here to Celsius and Tempest. And out they come from an alley.
Like you do when you're a superhero.
Like you do, and I forgot.
Maybe they had to change there. I'm not sure.
Maybe. This is when Tempest was still all talking Tyrock. What are we standing around here gabbing for? Let's see if we can get Superman back on his feet so he can help us corral Negative Woman. The bugs in that alleyway are driving me bonkers.
I pity the fool.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. And of course, this is where we learn that Tempest is feeling all warm and gushy for Negative Woman. He loves her. Okay, there's a parade of some sort going on in Metropolis with floats and
like
stuff.
Like there always is. I mean, I don't think a week goes by without a parade in that damn place.
They have a lot. Yeah, exactly.
I would love
to work only half there. Of them are for Superman.
Yes, this one's got a great big Hembeck Superman floating on the floats. And is that a Cerebus back behind him?
It kind of does look like one, yeah. Or a cow.
It probably is. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yes.
Given the time frame and it's Giffen.
Yes. So Lois has drawn the short straw because she gets to report on the parade with Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah. Who drew the short straw? You get Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah,
damn
exactly.
It. That's gonna get turned right. into a turtle or some shit. Oh man.
That's right. And she's like, a big green face pops up on the screen, and she's like, "That's not part of the parade, folks. If you saw the special bulletin preceding this show, you'll recognize him as the man sought for the murder of D.A. Sims."
Uh-oh.
It is
murder,
of course.
That's so funny when you think about it.
I know, ambush bug, murderer. Don't worry, folks. He gets better.
He gets better, yeah.
It is weird, isn't it? I mean,
this is really...
Well, this is before Giffen decided he would wanted to use him as political commentary for
the state
of the DCU.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right?
So it's just funny. It was like, yeah, we got to give that, but we've got to give that reason for them to be fighting him, kind of.
Yeah.
There's this issue, and then there's the one with the Legion of Substitute Heroes.
Yeah.
And then after that is where he starts gradually turning more and more just goofy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The next couple like action and stuff where he shows
right.
up.
Yeah.
And then he just goes full blown when he hit. By the time he hits the Superman and Cobra DC Comics Presents.
Yeah.
It's just all crazy.
Yeah, he's just like boo.
Yeah, well,
he's the ambush bug we know and love.
Yeah, totally. When he's with the subs, he's
halfway there. He's weird, but he's not he's still willing to kill people.
He's Bugs Bunny in
with
the subs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think Kupperberg uses him in Supergirl, and he by the end of the issue he's reformed or he's decided he's gonna be a superhero.
So that's possibly the only ambush bug that wasn't written by Giffen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's Kupperberg and Infantino and
unless you count that issue of like Kronos 1,000,000, where he apparently Ambush Bug owns a bar in the far future for some reason.
That's funny.
Oh my! Alrighty, so Ambush Bug shows up and he does the villain thing. He gives out his name. I'm Ambush Bug. I'm a bad guy. What, you may ask, qualifies a person to be a bad guy? I was wondering that myself, so I figured I'd better do something bad to establish my credentials. So I did it. Yes, so he goes all killy-killy on the DA. And then we get a little bug buzzing around. And at this point, we don't know that the bugs are what Ambush Bug is using to vanish. But he vanishes. And Cliff Steele, as he is wont to do, comes crashing through the wall. Where are you hiding, Val, baby? He asks. Blast, I could have sworn my sensors were picking up an overload of power in here. Maybe it's time for my 5,000-mile tune-up. And Lois, of course, is like, I know you. You're Robot Man. You used to be with the Doom Patrol. Still am, doll, but I ain't got time to hand out autographs right now. I've got too much to do. Catch me later. I'm usually hanging around Studio 54.
See, and even here, he's gone back to the more regular Robot Man suit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. It's traditional Robot Man here.
So I guess after the Showcase 100, they just were like, you know what? I think he's done with that one.
And that's probably
because they made him look more robotic. Like, he looked more...
Yeah, oh yeah, he was...
Much less human. I guess maybe that... It seems pretty clear that they were... Although that series didn't come out... The Lytle series didn't come out until...
Way after.
87?
Yeah, 87.
Am I right? Yeah. So it's interesting. It seemed that maybe they were priming them for something, and then it just didn't happen.
Well... I've seen interviews where Kupperberg said he'd been pitching Doom Patrol for forever. He wanted to make it work, and so that's why everything he wrote, he kept putting them into.
Yeah, he found ways to work them in.
But he's trying to get it off the ground for the longest time until they finally opened up a slot or whatever. I don't know however that works.
And maybe part of it was, it's like, nah, that guy looks too much like a freaky robot.
Well, we'll find out why he looks like such a freaky robot at the end of the show.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Negative Woman again, causing mayhem and disaster at the parade.
Running amok.
She is. She's blowing up floats. She's causing people to run around and scream. And Jimmy Olsen tries to do some good, and then a big float falls on him. And it's a big Superman float, too, I think. He's squished by Superman.
Squished by his own best pal. Oh, knows.
There's a Judge Dredd.
Through a Judge Dredd float. So, yeah, that was definitely service.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
All right. So Superman finally starts to wake up, and he finds Celsius and Tempest hanging out over top of him. Hey, Supes, my man, you with us yet?
You jive turkey.
He's even got a big collar.
Shut up, fool.
He's got like a Karate Kid collar almost.
Yes.
Well, again, designed in the 70s. What do you want?
Yep. They do the introductions. They introduce themselves. Let them, you know, this is my name. These are my powers.
The usual, hey, let's fight. Okay, now let's talk.
Yeah, that's right. And that is when Ambush Bug pops up, gives Superman a zap.
He's got, like, the Joker's joy buzzer all of a sudden?
I guess so, yeah. It says, all it takes is my touch in the proper circuit, stitch it into my costume for my teleportation device, and
poof. What, you just teleport Superman?
Maybe that, no. Nope. He's teleported to Superman?
I don't know.
Anyway, there's the green guy. There's Superman. Everyone realizes green guy is... He's the problem. And they're going to grab him, but of course he pops away. He jumps up on top of a roof, and he, Ambush Bug, finally sees Negative Woman, and he is in love.
His antenna turning a little heart there. Yeah.
Oh, and here we go. His first line pops up there. Oh, hearty har har. What a maroon. Yeah. What a super duper dupe. Yeah, he was Bugs Bunny. He was Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. Catch that chick, will ya? She's going berserk. Smashing everything in sight without rhyme or reason. She's absolutely nutsy cuckoo. Baby, I love you.
Yep.
And
he knows what he likes, and what he likes is crazy chicks.
He does like crazy chick. Then we got Superman fighting the Doom Patrol. They've just introduced themselves. What are they doing fighting?
He just doesn't like...
That's how it works.
He doesn't like Tempest's...
attitude.
Emotive speech.
Yeah.
He doesn't like Ebonics.
You will speak proper grammar. Right.
No jive in front of Superman.
Right. I'm sorry. I don't speak jive.
Yes, right.
So he's... you know what? He thinks they're connected to Ambush Bug. He thinks they're also...
Oh.
Yeah, because Ambush Bug does that whole thing when they show up where he pops in and he's like, what are you jerks doing? Get him!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. That.
We skip that bit. That's important information. And skipping it, that's how we roll. Okay.
Totally. Anyway, Robot Man shows up and he's like hanging out in the corner and he's like, yo, Superman, you know me. We're all good. So they stop their fighting and they do a flashback and they explain how Negative Woman became Negative Woman. She got, she was a Russian test pilot. And instead of getting a Green Lantern ring,
yes,
she got zapped by Negative Man. who...
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah. When Negative Man, when they were killed way back when.
Yep.
The negative energy being was, I think, dormant for a while, and then
her plane flew over, and it crashed into the ocean near where Larry got blown up real good.
Yeah.
And whatever the negative being was doing, it was just hanging out in Larry's corpse, man, I guess. I don't know.
When Negative Man meets a negative woman.
Yeah.
And they love each other very much.
They give each other a special hug.
More negative creatures up here.
There was... it's interesting because they sometimes talk about the timeline of when the Doom Patrol died as being a long time ago. And then at other times, it's like, well, it can't have been that long before because, Gar Logan is...
He's still only 16 or whatever the heck it is.
Yeah, he's the youngest member of the Teen Titans, and he clearly spent a long chunk of his life with Rita.
Yeah.
Judging by his attachment to her when you get that early Doom Patrol thing. But it's interesting. It's just sometimes they're like, yeah, it happened a long time ago because it was almost 20 years ago.
And now we have five Robins, so whatever.
Yeah, well, exactly. But what I mean is...
At the time, it was kind of
weird. At the time, that was unusual. They were usually pretty good at saying, well, that was just a few months ago.
Yeah.
Alrighty, so they explain here, she was able to contain her negative being inside her with no sweat until yesterday when it started to leak through her skin. Something's going crazy. And then it pained her, and she went, the pain was too much, and she just snapped, and now she's going crazy. Tempest is like, she can't help herself, Superman. The pain's driving her crazy, making her do all these things. And that is when Superman's super hearing kicks in. I don't know that you need super hearing, because there are buildings crashing. And negative energy zooming around, but we'll call it super hearing if you want. I hear a building crashing. So does
no one else. No one else does. They're all like, what?
Is it raining? I hear thunder.
Yeah.
Alrighty, Superman goes, and Ambush Bug sees the woman. She knocks him over as she's flying through the roof, and he's like, woohoo, what a woman. I love it that you're playing hard to get, baby.
Oh, so now he's Pepe Le Pew.
Bugs Bunny, yeah. That's it, he's every Warner's character.
Yeah.
Tempest tries zapping him with a tornado, and Ambush Bug pops away, and Superman is doing, he's on trash patrol. He's tossing all the debris up into space, and Negative Woman goes through yet another blimp in the air, this one a cowboy.
This parade's getting toe up from the flow up.
It's crazy that the parade's still going on.
Yeah, you'd think, you're like, oh, I think we're done. Maybe they all stopped, but those balloons are just going to float there anyway. Like, there's not like they can go anywhere.
I don't know. This is Metropolis. I think they kept the parade going.
That's probably true. It's Superman will take
Superman's
care of
around.
It. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
We got a parade
quota. We don't
quota.
Have to do anything for ourselves.
Yeah.
We got a parade like quota suckers. In this town. Jimmy Olsen finally gets out from under the one blobby blimp, and he's running off to get photographs and stuff, and he's complaining about how humiliated he is, and then Cowboy Balloon squashes him again. Poor Jimmy.
Jimmy, you gun.
All right, Negative Woman is still flying around, and she knocks Superman flying, and he's like, there has to be a way to stop her. It's no use trying to physically tackle her. That's good. He's learned that. It's page 17. It's about time. not with her ability to slip through solid matter. And then, of course, Ambush Bug pops up and he's like, that's the name, Elmer. Don't wear it out. And listen, fella, you leave that doll alone. She's my lady now. Ain't she cute? And Superman tries to grab him and he pops away into the middle of the street. He's like, that guy's quick with his hands. But you got to get up pretty early in the morning to catch an Ambush Bug. Celsius is out there. She's like, I've always been partial to early mornings. And she tries to, she's not good with the bantering there.
No, well, yeah. It's not her way.
It's not her first. Yeah. Anyway, she tries freezing him. Doesn't work because he, of course, pops out of the ice and pops back down. She tries, instead of freezing him, she does a little fire burst on him, but of course he pops away, pops behind her, gives her
the flying elbow drop.
Yeah,
that's little Randy Savage action. Bam!
Down she goes.
Like a ton of bricks.
And Robot Man's like, "Ah, you should not have done that, man." Does this mean we're not friends no more?
What is he, Chong? It's like, hey, oh man, come on, man.
All right, Superman.
You should not have done that, man. Oh,
man.
Superman says, "Ambush Bug's got to have a gimmick behind his 'now you see me, now you don't' routine. And unless I miss my guess, that low buzzing sound I hear whenever he's around is it." So he uses his telescopic vision and his super hearing, and he looks at all the bugs in town, and he realizes that all the little green electrical bugs are probably really robots. And he uses super speed, goes through town, crushes them all, gets them all gone, and he says, "With that done, the Doom Patroller shouldn't have any trouble rounding up Ambush Bug. Negative Woman is a whole nother story." So she's still zapping around, flying around like crazy. Ambush Bug gets what's coming to him.
What?
I know, crazy. He's like taunting Cliff. "Ooh, you look positively miffed, Tin Man. Why don't you take a swing at me? It'll make you feel like a new man," or whatever. "Go on, Chrome Dome, plant one right here." And he points to his chin, and he's hoping to have teleported, but of course, no such luck. Cliff gives him a good thrashing.
Wham!
Wham, and Ambush Bug goes
punched in the face.
Downtown.
He even leaves skid marks.
Cliff's got issues there. Negative Woman's still flying around, and Superman finally realizes that negative energy can be contained by lead. So he brings a big lead box. And does he scoop her up now? I guess so. You show up in 2 seconds. Yeah, he scooped the lady, put her into a big lead box, and problem solved. He's like, "Sorry it took that long, but I did have to detour to my fortress of solitude and pick up this lead container I keep lying around to store kryptonite in."
But I guess it doesn't have kryptonite in it right now?
No, he...
for whatever reason?
He dumped it all out.
Really. Yeah, yeah.
He's going to have to get a real good cleaning service for the fortress there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they go flying off. He goes, "Don't feel bad. I've been in the heroic business a lot longer than you. Experience comes with the territory. That's how I was able to figure out the negative being could be contained with lead." Well, that end. 10 years of negative man stories out there, but...
Well, you know, those specially treated bandages don't just grow on trees.
That's
you can
right,
get those
from
cheap, and he's not currently
around. He's not around anymore, yeah, yeah.
At least not available for comment.
Yeah. Yes, so we get a couple of little epilogues there as Superman and Tempest fly off, and Jimmy Olsen finally crawls out from under the balloon, and he's like, "Man, if I ever see another piece of latex rubber again, it'll be too soon."
Yeah.
No fun for Jimmy anymore.
He is a man of action, I don't know.
And the police officer finds Jimmy under the big balloon, and he figures Jimmy is the cause for all this problem, so he drags him away, and Jimmy's like, "I'm a reporter."
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Totally. So off goes Jimmy. He's clearly the cause of all these buildings being blown up and
I blame
down and stuff.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, we get another little epilogue where we see Ambush Bug outside of his Ambug suit.
Wow.
We almost never
see that very often, for sure.
Yeah, he's wearing prison grays and he's all bald.
Looks like Luthor, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of people thought that at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he figures he's not going to stay in jail very long because there's one little bug still flying around. So he's okay with being in jail for now. And the very last epilogue is very typical Doom Patrol-y stuff. They bring her to the Midway City headquarters of the Doom Patrol. This might be the first time they actually name the city. Because during the 60s, it was never... I don't think it was ever named.
I don't know.
I don't think
it was. They may have done it during the showcase run, too. I'm not
sure. Maybe, yeah. And they tell the negative woman that the medical sensors here say we got you back just in the nick of time. A few more hours like that, and that's you would have been gone. You would have been dead. And they tell her she's very lucky. She's like, yeah, lucky. Look at me. I'm a freak. I'm all wrapped up in bandages. Never again to truly be human. Yeah, I'm lucky.
Aww.
Yeah. Midway City was also where Hawkman and Hawkgirl were from in the Silver Age.
Yeah.
It says, one of the many incarnations of the superhero team, Doom Patrol, spent much time working out of a Midway City brownstone. They rarely met Hawkman and Hawkwoman. But yeah, I don't know if they actually...
By rarely, that would be... They never met.
yeah, and I mean, one of the first things that that Kupperberg did was move them out of Midway City.
Kansas, yeah.
And into Kansas, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it might have been in the showcase run that they named it Midway, because I don't think...
Because don't nobody want to team up with Hawkman.
No. That's even
just,
back then.
That's just waiting for continuity problems.
Alrighty, well that's it. That brings us to the end of
DC Comics Presents number 52.
Mm-hmm. 52.
Yeah. So we will eventually get around to doing that the showcase stuff. I'm not sure why we didn't. I think it was just that we were sort of hitting the more popular runs first.
And we went with Byrne.
Well, Byrne is arguably more popular than any of the other creators. Plus, I think it's good to get the sort of bad taste out of the mouth first. And you know, all fairness, there's some good stuff in that run.
Yeah, towards the end it gets.
Not my bias against it is chiefly because it was a reboot when it was unnecessary, as Giffen proved later on.
Yeah.
So but we will get to that and eventually all the Kupperberg stuff that led up to the Morrison stuff that we're doing now. We'll probably get to do that before we get around to doing the Rachel Pollack stuff, since Murray and I both need to get it all.
Eventually we'll get there, no worries.
The Rachel Pollack stuff, was that all Vertigo?
Yeah,
that's when it shifted Vertigo, right at the end of Morrison's run.
Okay.
So none of his stuff was Vertigo.
Right, yeah. Okay, so hers was
It
the
became
first
Vertigo
issue.
And then she started, yeah.
Okay. Yep, so that's it.
Because that's when I was all talking about superpowered girl problems and stuff.
Yeah.
Feminist witchery and transsexuals, all sorts of sex ghosts. She had an agenda to hit, and she did it. That was for sure.
Yeah,
it's a lot of really weird, a lot of really good stuff.
Alrighty, that's it. We're gonna tack on our little. We have an interview.
Yes, the interview with Joe Staton follows, and then we'll be back for wrap up.
Yes, that's it. See you all after the interview.
Hey, Murray.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Good to be here.
We do a Doom Patrol podcast, as you probably guessed from us talking before. So, okay. Oh, so you got it on? Are you ready to go?
Yeah, we're
all set to go.
Later.
Yeah. So a little departure from form for our show this time. We don't really do a lot of interviews. We haven't had a chance to meet any of the sort of Doom Patrol creators as such so far. So this is actually our first interview for this show.
Yeah.
So we're here with Joe Staton, the artist on the showcase revival of the Doom Patrol. Kupperberg?
Paul Kupperberg.
Paul Kupperberg and Joe Staton. So I understand that you recently talked to Back Issue about this era of stuff.
Well, we talked about the Paul and Paul Kupperberg and Paul Levitz and me. We talked about all the work we did on Showcase.
Right.
Nice.
Because there was, I think I wound up doing more Showcase issues than anybody.
Nice.
And Paul was in Paul. Paul Levitz was in charge of all that, so
right.
So yeah, and the Doom Patrol was obviously in the mix there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Were they like the first? Like Showcase was kind of put on hiatus for a little while, wasn't it? And then it came back, and was this?
So we're hoping.
Yeah, I think so. I think it went up like to some seven. Well. There was Firehair and a bunch of guys like through there, and it kind of kind of did hold up for a while after that. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I think that's, yeah, I think you're right where there was a hiatus and then it came back with this because the three-issue arc for Showcase was actually pretty, it's pretty big.
All right, and then there was Johnny Double and I was thinking of all the ones that were toward the end, like the previous incarnation
Right.
So you did the redesign on Robot Man?
I did.
Was that
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us anything about your sort of inspiration or what you were thinking? Not to deride it in any way whatsoever, but it's such a departure from the regular Robot Man body.
Well, basically, I had been... I wound up doing this because I had done some Metal Men, and they figured if I could draw the Metal Men, I could draw robots. But
a little bit of robot profiling. It's like
It is, right. If you've ever drawn anything and got away with it, they expect you should do it next time.
Yeah.
So it's better than not. So, but the thing is, John Byrne and I have a history going back to Charlton Comics and back to fanzines and like that.
Oh, really?
So there was like this thing going on with a joke about, I don't know, various things Byrne and I would do with each other. And he had a character who appeared in the back of E-Man, called, I don't know if he calls him Rog or Raj. I think Raj 2000.
It was
a funny robot strip about a robot who smoked a cigar. And was, and he'd done them in fanzines, and then for a while we had him in E-Man. Nick Cuddy wrote him. So I thought it would be cool. Just, hey, I'm doing a robot. I'm going to do John Byrne's robot. So,
so you swiped him.
Yes, so I swiped him,
Nice.
Without telling John.
I'm sure that went over very well.
I think probably not. Because there was John did a comics reader cover as a fanzine that done at the time, showing Raj 2000 going by a mirror and stopping, looking very startled, seeing the new robot man looking back at him. So I read it as a joke. I probably shouldn't have done it. I'm sure I shouldn't have done it.
Did he not talk to you ever again?
He does. He does speak to me.
Yes.
He's quite polite.
But he's civil at least.
I should have spoken to him before I ripped him off.
Run it by him first, yeah, for sure.
Wow, that's cool.
So you got to do the designs on all the costumes then?
Those would have been all mine. I think the one I put the most thought into was Celsius, the Indian woman.
Yeah, she's got a lot more sort of detailing going on.
Because I don't remember. Is her skin should have been darker.
In the inside, it is.
The cover. Yeah.
Probably whoever colored the cover hadn't seen the inside.
She's more.
Yeah, she looks too white on the inside. She should have. Because I actually had like National Geographics and stuff.
Right.
I looked at Indian women
and tried
to make her a little more authentic.
Well, with the processing at the time, it was probably pretty hard to get it just right anyways.
There wasn't a lot of subtlety available. Not a lot, yeah. But,
so do you have any particular memories about the story, or is this one of those things where they just brought it to you and said, this is late, do it, please?
The story I usually tell, that I told back issue, is that one of the stories involves a Cossack.
Yes, Cossack robot. Again, another robot.
A Cossack robot who rides a flying horse.
Yes.
And I really can't draw horses. And I certainly couldn't draw them then, and I don't draw them very well now. So...
it doesn't look too bad to me.
Actually, it doesn't look as bad as it does as I remember. Because Paul Kupperberg made all kinds of fun of my horse, and I worked with Paul Kupperberg many times over the years,
right.
And whatever he calls me with a job these days, no matter what it is, my first first question. Are there horses? So we try to avoid horses. And the irony, I guess, is when Paul Levitz offered me the Doom Patrol, I said, well, you know, I didn't actually care that much for the Doom Patrol. I never liked Bruno Premiati that much.
Really?
And I do now.
Like his style? Or? Well,
yeah, I never warmed up to him as a kid.
Okay.
Reading comics.
That's interesting.
And Paul said, well, you know, now you can do it your way, however you want. And it won't look like Bruno. And so I did it. And I did it. I drew really bad horses. And Bruno was like the world's authority on how to draw horses.
Books about drawing
horses.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So this is like one of my earlier episodes in learning humility. So I guess I thought Bruno was a little stiff, but, you know, I don't have any objections now, and boy, could he draw horses.
That's neat. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, we would see the Kirby stuff, and when I was a kid, I didn't really appreciate it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not until later on when you go back and you look at it and you're like, well, it's visually interesting, it's doing stuff, and there's always, it's big and large and ah.
Yeah. So, you know, I assume that, you know, it does teach you that your taste evolves.
Yeah.
Some things you don't see, you see
Cracker
later.
Jacks and Kraft Dinner all the time.
All day long.
Yeah. So, anyway, Bruno Premiati, great artist, great drawer of horses. I am not...
No matter what
I am not fit to change his saddle. You know?
That's awesome.
But it was early work for Paul Kupperberg and for me at DC as well. So, you know, we had fun with the stories.
And, yeah, I liked it. It had a lot of stuff in it. The General Mortis and the big Russian robot. And this is before Rocky IV, so, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't really a robot, but he was a big Russian.
It was a big Russian. Yep.
Yes.
See, now there's those giant boots again. Is that where you got the Guy Gardner boots from?
All I can remember is there were big boots around then. People wore what were called moon boots.
There where it was like, yeah, moon boots or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's before Uggs, too, right?
That's way before Uggs.
I think looking at it now, it looks kind of like anime, because a lot of those characters have legs that get bigger. And
so you're just like ahead of your time.
I was ahead of my time.
Absolutely.
Yes, right.
Wow.
So you did them for this 3-issue run.
Right.
And then they came back, they come back for 100, right? Showcase 100?
Yes.
As far as I know,
everybody who ever appeared
in Showcase.
In Showcase is in Showcase 100.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere. Even James Bond is in a background shot.
Really? That's interesting.
That's cool. I think that was Levitz's hope, right? That he would get everybody in that anniversary issue.
Yeah. The original idea was just to include the characters who were going to spun off into their own series.
Right.
But because the two Pauls and me were young and ambitious and cocky, we decided to, you know, go ahead and throw everybody who'd ever been in the series in there. So,
nice.
Yep, we got them in there somewhere.
Cool.
Some made more sense than others, but they're all in there.
Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent.
And I did love drawing General Immortus. I thought he's...
Yeah, there's not a lot of crotchety old men running around fighting superheroes anymore.
That's right. I think we need a lot more.
He's got a great bit. I'm just old, and I want to stay old forever.
Yeah, I'm starting to identify with him.
It's a little easier now.
It's a little easier now.
Write him now.
That's right.
Right.
He didn't realize he wanted to stay old or, you know, stay around until he was old. And then he was like, oh, like if he had had that thought 30 years earlier when he was in his 30s, you know.
He might have been more effective.
He would have at least looked younger.
You know, but the thing is, he's really old dude. People underestimate him. See, he's quick. He's quick in the head, so.
So he's around forever, and he's old.
Yes.
And in the Legion of Superheroes, there is actually a villain called Immortus. And he apparently seems to be a mind inside a robot body. And an indestructible robot body, no less.
So there's been speculation that he may be actually General Immortus. He actually figured something out, you know?
Well, good for
him. If the whole youth serum thing never works out for you, you got to think outside the box, I guess.
Since he knows about, you know, giant robot bodies from, you know, sure, high class acts. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
So Plisteel owes him one, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yep.
What do you get? Anything else?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, who was behind the revival? Was that DC's idea? Was that Paul's idea? Did they come to you with it, or?
Well, Paul Levitz offered it to me.
Okay.
And he was working. Oh golly, I wonder if Joe Orlando was involved at that point or not. But it was definitely DC's idea.
Okay. Yeah. DC was ready to bring him back.
Yeah, they were. You know, they were trying to get a lot of things going then.
Right. Mm-hmm. And had there been any thought, like, was DC's idea to do mostly new characters?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. You know, getting a new crop in.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I like your General Immortus. He's awesome. He's got the big head.
Big wrinkly head.
He's having a good time showing them whippersnappers what's what. Yeah. Look at that. He's even fighting Robot Man. Dang.
Yeah.
He's spry. He eats his Wheaties.
Absolutely.
So eventually these new Doom Patrol characters did turn up again.
Well, Kupferberg brought them back again because he wanted to keep going with it. He was a fan of the Doom Patrol from back in the day, I guess, right?
But they did eventually get back to a classic Robot Man look.
Yeah, so. It didn't last too long, I gotta know.
That's good. That's good.
we call him the Disco Robot Man. For some reason, there's something about him that just says disco to me.
Yeah.
Because his feet kind of look like bell bottoms, maybe. I don't know.
Ah, that's true. Yes, actually,
I had no idea they were stolen, though. So there you go.
A lot of my characters kind of have that 70s vibe.
Yeah.
So. You stick with what you like, right?
That's right. That's my time.
Recurring themes.
Recurring themes.
It's all good. Right. Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. It was great. Great speaking with you.
Can I get you to sign these for me? That'd be awesome.
Sure. Yeah.
And then we'll let you get back to work.
Someday you'll get John Byrne to sign them.
Yeah. Just the Robot Man. Yeah. That'll be great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. With Mr. Staten. And
thank you very much for the interview, sir.
Yeah.
If you actually happen to hear this, I'm sorry for what came before it.
It was a pleasure speaking with him. He was
a really nice
cool.
guy. Really awesome.
Very nice. Yeah. I've now decided I will like Joe Staten's artwork. Since he's such a nice guy, I can't help but like his stuff.
There you go.
Yeah. Alrighty, so if you want to send us an email, you can send us an email to doompodtroll@gmail.com, or you can visit us at our website, which is also doompodtroll.com.
Yeah, do that. Send us stuff. Talk to us. Talk to us. Tell us you're out there and alive.
Yeah, Joe Staten, talk to us.
Yeah, really. If we're good enough for him, we're good enough for you, schmoes.
Exactly. We will see you all next week.